Hi, welcome to part one of a brand new series, Summer Fruit. So glad that you're here with us today as we begin this new series. The Lord really laid this on my heart. I believe it's really going to be a life-giving series for 9 weeks as we take this through June and July. Let me just pause right here, as I always do, and welcome all those that are joining us online. So glad to have you all along for the ride from all over the country, the world. Come on, can we welcome those that are joining us? So glad you're here. I want to jump right into this series as we look at this. You know, I want to sort of set up the purpose, the reason why we're doing this series in this fashion that we're doing it in. I was really wrestling with what to do this summer. I looked at a couple different scenarios, and God seemed to lay this area on my heart, and I looked at it, and it fit perfectly into the calendar. That is that we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, and there are nine qualities or characteristics, if you will, of the fruit of the Spirit. I've heard it said it's not fruits, it's fruit. It's the Spirit of God, and He has these characteristics that He'll produce in your life, so you can have all nine of these characteristics that should have all nine of these characteristics in your life. I want to look at this, though. We're calling it summer fruit, and you know, some fruit is very seasonal, and so we know there's only certain times that we can get certain types of fruit, and I've experienced that. But I want us to see that it's not just for the season, but these are lifetime fruit. Okay, this is what should be in your life year round. But we're taking this season of the summer to focus on producing fruit in our life, allowing God to produce His fruit in our life. I believe that when He produces something, it is something powerful that happens within us, and not only in us but through us. So it's not seasonal, and so when I say summer fruit, it's not just for the summer, okay? Not just for the summer. Some fruits are just for the summer. I actually took a trip recently up to Greensboro and to a graduation, and Femi Ann Bolligan, who got her master's in library and information and doing phenomenal things. And so we made it a point, Kim and I, though, when we went, that we decided when we go, we're going to go to Stamey's Barbecue. And so there we go. We got some barbecue fans in here. And I went to the one located on the Battleground location, and because that's the one I was familiar with. I went in there, and the barbecue was great. I loved the barbecue. But there was something that happened at the end of that meal that made me forget all about the barbecue. She offered dessert, and she said, you know, we've got... I said, what kind of dessert do you have? Well, we have peach cobbler, and we have strawberry cobbler. Said strawberry cobbler. When's the last time I had strawberry cobbler? And I thought, my goodness. She said it went seasonal. In other words, better get it now. You know, if you call right now, you know, before this offer ends, you only have so much time before this offer ends. So look at that. I just had to share that with you. You haven't had lunch yet, have you? I just had to share this with you. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I mean, that was warm strawberry cobbler, and of course, balance it out with some beautiful vanilla ice cream. And I want to tell you, it's so amazing. Let me show you what it does to you. Let me show you what it actually does to you. It does that to your wife. You know what I'm saying? I did not get her permission to do that. But anyway, that's what happens, you know. But fruit will make you smile. And so we hope that in this series that you're going to have some smiles, and it's going to make some other people smile when you're producing fruit in your life. Actually, I went to Boston Market last night, and they told us that, you know, I always get the apples as a side. You know, you ever get those apples? Look, it's got that. What? How did they do that? It's like got that sauce kind of cinnamon. I don't know what it is, but it's good, you know. And they were out. And they said, well, it's seasonal. I'm thinking, we don't have apples in season. Right? Anyway, so some things are seasonal. But what we're talking about, though, is a year-round fruit that we believe God wants to develop in our life. Now, as we talk about this, I'm just going to take a little bit of time kind of on lay a foundation for this series, since we're doing 9 weeks. And by the way, we're going to have different speakers. There'll be a lot of variety in this series. It's going to be a lot of fun. I believe it's really going to be life-giving. But I want to lay some foundation down as we talk about this idea of fruit. You know, there's two types of fruit. When I think about fruit, as the Bible talks about it, there's an internal fruit. That's what God does inside of us. And that's really what this series is about, It's about the fruit of the Spirit, and that's these qualities that God imparts inside of us. It is supernatural. It's this thing that happens. We're not talking about traits. Okay, you say, well, that's a good person, and we're going to talk about one of the characteristics is goodness. And so that's a good person, but it's not just about being good in and of your own abilities. This is something that's supernatural. It's a God-given fruit that he puts inside of his believers, fruit of the Spirit. And so I want us to see that there's something that happens on the inside. There's another type of fruit that's an external type of fruit, and that is that we produce fruit and that our life is reproducing. That it is reproducing. There's a multiplication that happens. We think of the harvest when you think about this kind of fruit. We want to be fruitful. We want to multiply, right? You think about a family when they're being fruitful. God said, be fruitful and multiply the earth. It's because it means you're going to have children. You're going to have increase. You're going to have growth. So I believe this is a great series because here's what I believe. This is my premise. I believe that when we possess internal fruit, it's going to produce some external fruit. I believe as we focus on this summer, we're going to take these 2 months, June and July, and we're going to talk about what we need to do and see happen in our lives internally. We're going to grow closer to God. We're going to allow God to do some things on the inside. And then we're going to go into August. We're going to have a season of 21 days of prayer. And we're going to just really till up the ground. And then in the fall, I'm believing that we're going to have a phenomenal harvest. Amen. Anybody with me on that? Anybody ready to have a harvest and see some reproducing? And I believe that's what God has shown me in this. I want to begin this by laying the scripture out. Now, during this series, we're not going to have the message notes with the fill in the blanks that we normally have. But we are going to provide you just a blank page there that you can, it's there in your worship guide, that you can take some notes. I encourage you to take some notes and write these scriptures down. But the first one is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. That's very foundational for this series. And it goes like this. Verse 22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. The King James and even the NIV says it calls it the fruit of the Spirit. NLT has some things in it I thought would help us understand. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, doesn't that just make you feel good just going through that list? There is no law against these. And so he talks about how that this is not just something that because it's the law is going to happen in your life. This is something that's going to be produced supernaturally in your life because God's going to do something on the inside of you. But then I must balance that out because when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, there's another thing that could that happens. That, in fact, it's the state of where we are before we receive him, before we have this relationship with Christ, before we allow him to do a work on the inside of us, and it's the nature of who we are. And that is spelled out actually before Paul gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He precedes it with this information that's found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, that says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature. One translation said it's called the works of the flesh. Another translation said the acts of the flesh. So, but when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, there is a sinful nature that we have inherited. We're going to talk about that. The results are very clear. This is what happens from that nature. This is what it produces. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Look at that. Now, you don't feel as good, do you, going through that list? And then he says this. There's a caution here. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's very, that's very weighty, okay? So I want you to ponder that. And I want us to just establish this morning. And that is that there is a sinful nature that we have. The Bible describes it as a nature that's handed down to us from Adam. Theologians call it the Adamic nature. There is a nature that you and I were born with. We are born sinners. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, the Bible says. You don't believe it? You do not have to teach your baby how to sin. You don't have to teach them how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to be bad. They are born sinners. Those precious little things, they're born sinners. I'm just telling you. It's the truth. We have this nature that has been passed down through us. It's a definition because we are in a fallen state. Because we are earthy. We are earthly and we are unholy. And we are sinful by nature. But balance that on the other side, and that is God's nature. God's nature is not sinful. God's nature is sinless. He is holy. He is true. He is worthy. He is altogether lovely, the Bible describes him as. So there's our nature, and there's God's nature. Write this down, and that is this fact, and that is that by nature, we are not good. We're not good. And but somebody said, well, isn't it all about just being good? Well, you know, that's a good person. Maybe they've done enough good deeds, they'll go to heaven. And, you know, if they do enough good things. Listen, it's not about your good deeds. In fact, God didn't come. I heard Louis Giglio share this, that God never came to make good people, bad people good people. He didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Amen? Because the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. So if we're not in him, we're not even to the point of good or bad. Hey, we're not even in this thing called life because we live and move and have our being in him. He is life, right? And apart from him, there is no life. And so by nature, we are not good. Let me even give you this scripture that Paul shared in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. He says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me." There's no good thing that dwells in me. No, there's nothing in me that's good. That is in my sinful nature, okay? "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Even if he wants to do what's good, there's this wrestling within him because there's this nature that he's dealing with. So by nature, we are not good. Now, here's another truth. By his nature, write this down, by his nature, God is always good. Amen? He's always good. And let me give you a scripture for that that's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "His divine power," love this, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness." He is a good God. And so, but he's called us from the fallen state to where we are, and we can come in to understanding and receiving this divine power. Look at verse 4. "Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate," love it, "in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires." So by nature we're sinful. By nature we're fallen. By nature we're not good. But God invites us to participate in his nature and his nature be imparted to us. There's a transformation that happens. It's just awesome. You know, somebody said that the cross was the great exchange. It's where God had a great exchange with us. Jesus, who came to this earth sinless, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. I just think that is absolutely awesome because I have nothing to bring to him except my sinfulness. I mean, on my best of days, I'm still a mess, y'all. Come on. I mean, when we got it all together, you think you got it all together, your hair's looking good, your clothes looking good, your shoes are shining, and you got the kids in a row, guess what? You're still a mess and come short. The Bible says, all have fallen and come short of the glory of God. How do we ever come before a holy God? It's only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Come on. Took upon himself our filthiness and gave us his robe of righteousness so that we could stand before the Father whole and complete. And I've said it before. People say, well, maybe God will just, you know, balance out my good and my bad. How many, you know what can get into heaven? No sin can get into heaven. No sin can be before God the Father. He is a perfect, holy God who cannot tolerate sin, okay? So how in the world do we get there? Because when we receive Jesus Christ, who is sinless, Listen, we become the righteousness of God, and we stand before him perfect. Only the perfect can get in. I'm not perfect, but Jesus is perfect. And through him, God sees us through his son Jesus, and we have access to the throne of God. Isn't that awesome? I just don't like preaching today. Okay. So, I mean, that's just absolutely good news. It is so powerful. Let me give you another scripture that's found in 2 Peter. Actually, it's a continuation of that scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 goes on to say this: "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness." Now, this is kind of interesting because he's talking about how that we can have this different nature come inside of us. We can be partakers of the divine nature. All right? And we just read about the fruit of the Spirit that God has available for us. And if you look at the context of Galatians chapter 5, he's talking a lot about, you know, our nature, you know, the sinful nature, and how do we get there, and how does this happen, and how we have these acts of the flesh, these acts of our own sinful nature, but then there's the fruit of the Spirit that's being offered. Well, look at what is presented here. It kind of resembles the fruit of the Spirit. He says, for this reason, talk about this divine nature we're partaking of. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. This sounds like fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? And to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being, love this, ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So on the flip side of that, if you possess these qualities, they will make you effective and make you, go back to that again, verse 8, they'll make you effective and they'll make you productive. We want to produce fruit. We want to be fruitful. That's what's going to happen. Look at verse 9. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So we need to understand how does that happen. We need to understand that we don't walk according to the deeds of our own desires of the sinful nature, but instead God has imparted us a new nature, realizing that we've been cleansed from all that. That's been nailed to the sinful nature, has been nailed to the cross. So by his nature, God is always good. Let me give you another thing that we need to see here in establishing this foundation for this series. God has shown us his nature through his son. God has shown us his nature through his son. Again, there was an Adamic nature, a nature that came from Adam because Adam sinned and the first Adam failed. But God sent another Adam. He gave us a new beginning. I love it. Isn't it powerful? You see what Adam messed up in the Garden of Eden when he said, I want what I want. God sent another Adam that went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. And everything changed. I want to show this to you that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, and I'm just going to pull some of this out of this without giving you all of this. You can go back and read all of it later today. But so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Now this is talking about, in context, this is talking about resurrection. And this isn't all there is to this. There's another life. But I believe it also applies to the state of where we are now in the sense that we've been redeemed, okay? So as it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit, all right? Verse 47 says, the first man was out of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. Now watch this. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. Verse 49, look at this. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, we got that natural, sinful nature, Adamic nature. So, look at this, we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. That's because of God's grace, his redemptive power. Isn't that powerful? But Bible says, back when we see him, we shall be like him. The Bible teaches us that if we follow him, we will be conformed to the image of Christ. We're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed, right? By the renewing of your mind, right? Come on. We're following after Jesus. We're becoming more like him. God showed us his nature through his son, and we can be partakers of that nature. Let me give you another thing I need you to write down, and that is this, that God gives us his nature through his spirit, which is what this series is talking about, the fruit of the spirit. He gives us his nature through his spirit. And this was actually foretold back in the Old Testament. Let me give you an Old Testament scripture that's found in Ezekiel chapter 36. God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. Something's going to change on the inside. You can change all the outside you want to, but nothing changes on the inside. It ain't working. You know, we've got all the do's and the don'ts on the walls. You know, thou shalt not, don't. You know, that's kind of what we sometimes have made church about. We come and we point our fingers, don't. Go out next week, come back, see if you can do any better. We'll pray for you, okay? But let me tell you, it's not about the do's and the don'ts. It's about a relationship with God. And when the inside changes, the do's and the don'ts will take care of themselves. Amen? God really just wants you. He'll talk to you about that other stuff. But what happens is his spirit comes inside of you and things change. So he says, I'm going to put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27 says, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my law. So there's going to be some fruit on the inside, and it's going to produce some fruit on the outside. Where you go, what you do, how you talk, how you live your life is going to change because of what has happened on the inside. And then it goes on to say, then you will live, and it talks about them inheriting the land Israel. But basically he's saying, you're going to, and I would just apply to us today that we're going to live because of that. And he says, I will save you from all your uncleanness. So there's going to be a change that happens. I will call you for the grain. Look how it's tied into fruitfulness. And make it plentiful. Verse 30, I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field. God wants to produce fruit. How many believe it? Jesus said the Father is glorified in that we bear much fruit. Amen. He wants us to bear fruit. And we can do that by abiding in him and him in us and allowing his spirit to come and live and work out this thing inside of us. So that's a lot of foundation right there, okay? But I just kind of want to stand for what we're talking about. When we talk about this arena, this area of fruit, I want to just kind of grab one apple off the tree, okay? I want to, one fruit off the tree here. And I want to just take this real, just very briefly and just talk very briefly on this first one of love. Of love. Love. Again, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, qualities of his fruit. There's a new nature on the inside. It's visible on the outside. The inside causes us to reproduce, to be reproductive, to bring a harvest. Love. I think love is a very, very misunderstood word in our society. And everybody's searching for it. What was that song? Looking for love in all the wrong places. I can't sing the rest of it. Don't ask me to. I ain't country anyhow. So anyway, love, you know, we really got a lot of confusion today about what love is. I want to just keep it very simple. Cookies on the bottom shelf, everybody can get to them. I just want to give you some simplicities of this morning. Number one, love gives. Love gives. There's a difference between love and lust. Love gives, lust takes. Love is selfless. Lust is selfish. Lust is concerned about me, what I can get, what benefits, and for me, what did I gain out of this deal. Love is concerned about others. Love gives. The Bible describes that God is love. It's not just something he does, he is that. I believe if we could fathom him, and I mean even Paul, he couldn't understand the height, the width, the breadth, the depth of his. And Paul was not a guy who was at a loss of words, and yet he could not fully explain it with his intellect and knowledge. He couldn't understand or explain fully the love of God. He said, "Oh, I just wish you could, so I'd get a little bit of a grasp of this great love." His love knows no end. His love is beyond. This may sound like a strange illustration. I didn't really plan on sharing this here, but it just comes to my mind. My mother, some years ago, when she was in the midst of labor with my older daughter, sister, help me, y'all. I didn't plan on saying it, so I'm trying to get it worked out in my mind here. My older sister, who is the middle child, the one before me, my mother, they lost her during labor. My dad got down in the middle of the waiting room on his knees and cried out to God, said, "God, I can't make it without her." I'm glad he interceded, because I wouldn't be here. She had this experience, and you've heard about people having these experiences where she was just moving through this, like a tunnel she was going, and she thought it would always be this way. And you know, you've heard of people have that experience. And she said it was just peaceful, just this experience. I've heard of people that have gotten down, that have gotten so far into that where there was this bright light. Again, this isn't, I'm not sharing scripture here, I'm just sharing an experience, all right? But so this bright, and there was this force that was just emanating force, this powerful force, and what they came to this realization that it was God's love. I'm telling you, we can't fathom. I believe that God's love is the most powerful force in the universe. And we know that God loves us, but what we're talking about in this series is not just us receiving that love, which that's where it has to start, but it's about us then becoming the one that gives love. It's us that gives love. So his nature comes in us and makes us a giver. God gives. And let me give you the scripture that's obvious for this. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved us that he gave. Love gives. It gives. It's not taking, it's giving. It's a story I share with many couples about, it's an old illustration where there's a woman and a man in love, and she has this long hair, and she has a hair clasp, and she cuts her hair, and she sells her hair so that she can buy her husband a chain for his watch, you know, pocket watch he used to have. And he sells his watch so he can buy her a clasp for her hair. Didn't turn out too well, but you know, I'm just saying. But that's what love is. That's a picture of it. You're always thinking of the other one. You're not thinking of yourself, right? That's what love is. Love gives. Secondly, love goes. Love goes. And if you want to put some extra words out beside that, you say love goes the distance. In fact, love goes beyond. True love goes beyond. And love goes beyond when it's hard, when it's difficult. The Bible actually says that we're to love our enemies. Wait a minute. I love people that love me. Don't you love people that love you? They compliment you, they encourage you, they build you up. It's easy to love those people. But the people that put you down and ridicule you and make fun of you and, you know, stab you in the back, the Bible says we're supposed to love them. And then it goes a step further. It says we're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to bless them. Like, wait a minute. What's with that? And it helps us to know that this thing of love is not something that's just trivial. It's something that the Holy Spirit has to impart with inside of us. It's the nature of God's love that goes beyond our natural ability and gives us a supernatural ability to love. Let me share it with you, scripture for this. And that's found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love. He doesn't just say it, he does it. He demonstrates it. He puts some walking behind the talk. God demonstrates his own love for us in this while we were still sinners. While we were nailing him to the cross. While his back was being beaten. While he was being spit upon. While they were against him. While we were still sinners. Christ died for us. That's divine love. It's unconditional love. It's love that's not based on what we do or someone else does for us. It's we love them regardless. And I'm going to stay right here. Let's be real. We don't love everything everybody does. Love and approval is two different things. Right? And sometimes we put all in the same category. Well, if you love me, you got to approve what I do. No. That's two different things. I'm a parent. You got parents in the house here. You love your kids. And you approve of them when they make an A, and you really don't approve of it when they make an F or, you know, whatever. You know, they didn't do what they're supposed to do. But your love never changes, right? There's a difference. But love, listen to this, love gives and goes beyond their need, their face. It sees their heart. Love goes beyond the behavior and sees the source of the problem there, right? We wrestle against this sinful nature, right? We all do that. We see beyond the sinful nature. We see there's an eternal soul in there that God loves and that we love and that we care about that's worth redeeming, amen? That's worth saving, right? So we love beyond the actions. We love the soul, the eternal soul, right? Because we know not only do we wrestle against our sinful nature, we're also in a fallen world. There's things going to happen because we are in a fallen world. And there's another thing we wrestle with. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness. The Bible says that that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You think, well, that's my enemy. No, we need to recognize that we wrestle against spiritual wickedness, right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We have spiritual wickedness in high places, right? There's things that are happening that there's a devil out there, okay? Can I just be plain? There's an enemy out there. There's that aspect. Now, I'm not saying there's a devil under every rock, but he's there, okay? Sometimes I ride the light rail with him. I'm just telling you. Not the people. There's a spirit there, okay? There's a spirit sometimes in the workplace, in the marketplace. There's things that we wrestle with. And we got to see through all that. And only God can give us spiritual eyes to be able to see through the behavior and love the person that's going to live forever somewhere, right? Come on, everybody. May this always be a life-giving church that when people walk in here and they don't look right, smell right, act right, do right, come on, we're going to love them. We're not going to condemn them. It's the love. And listen, it's the kindness. That's another fruit. I'll leave that to somebody else another way. But it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. It's not me listening to rules and pointing my fingers and shaking my head and saying, man, I wish you could get as good as I am. No. We're all in this thing together. Come on. We're all in this hospital. If you just got here, you just got here a little bit later than the rest of us. But we're all in this hospital together. And we're helping each other out, right? And we're praying God develop his fruit within us. So love goes beyond. I want to stress that. Number three, love guides. Love gives, love goes, and love guides. So that means it's going to guide us. In fact, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit that he's a spirit of truth, and he'll guide you into all truth. He'll lead and guide you. Now, we'll talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is not a personality trait. This is not, I just need to be a better at this and that. No, it's the Holy Spirit that comes and lives inside of us and produces the supernatural fruit that's beyond what you can do in your own strength. So we're talking about that when he comes in, he's going to love guides us. Love guides. So it's not going to allow you to go the wrong way. It's going to guide you. It's going to encourage you. Love is concerned about you, right? The love of God. Love isn't just about making you feel good. I just got to say it. Love is not about a feeling. Oh, I feel love. Don't you feel the love? Oh, it's so... We just love each other. No, it's not about love. It's not about just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. Love guides with truth. Love loves you enough. You know, you've heard it said you need to speak the truth in love. And that's so true. Because you can't speak the truth in hate. Okay, there's a difference. But truth is not contrary to love. In fact, there's nothing more loving than truth. So I want to love you, and I don't want to judge you, and I don't want to, I just want you to feel good. I want you to be affirmed So we shy away from the truth. Listen, there's nothing more loving than the truth. If someone's laying on a train track and a light rail's coming down the track, you know, in fact, I got on a train the other day and I talked to the driver. I love my driver. I got my own driver now, you know, my light rail. And his name's Curtis. And I said, morning, Curtis. I said, we gonna make it this morning? Yeah, we can get these crazy people off the track. People think they want to kill themselves. I'm thinking, okay, we got somebody laying on the track, you know. Love, you know, just go ahead and lay there. We're going to love you while we run over you. No, we're going to pick them up. We're going to say, hey, truth is, if you lay there, you're going to get hurt. Come on. You have to try to make it real. Well, we're the same way with, you know, what the Bible says about certain things in our life and how we're to live our life out. And we say, well, it doesn't matter. Just love them. No. We're gonna love, yes, but we're going to offer truth. Truth is love. Amen? So love guides us into all truth. It offers you a way of life. Can I share some truth with you this morning? John chapter 3 follows right after John 3:16, okay? John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That's so important. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation says you're a mess and there ain't no way out. Conviction says you're a mess, but here's the way out. There's a difference. But so he didn't come to condemn, but to save the world through him. There is a way of salvation. It's through him. Look at verse 18. But he says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But truth becomes truth. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Not because God condemned them, but because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. They've condemned themselves. They have not accepted the way of life that God has offered to them. They've accepted their own way. It goes on to talk about how that they chose and loved darkness over the light because their deeds were evil and they wanted to hide out, right? They didn't want truth. But God's truth is love. It brings you out of bondage. We've sung about breaking every chain. It brings you to a way of freedom and experiencing life. Jesus came that you might have life and life to the fullest. He didn't come to condemn us. He didn't come just to give us a bunch of rules to make our life difficult. The rules are actually not for him, but every one of them for us to help us know how to live this life out and to have joy. Amen? That's another quality. I'll leave that to somebody else another week. Actually, that's next week. So we'll talk about that next week. So what we're talking about here, we're talking about love, guiding. We're talking about growth. We're talking about maturity. In fact, in order to receive truth, you've got to be teachable. We're saying, oh, help us, God, to always be teachable, and help us to be able, in a right spirit, with love, guide others. He wants to give us truth. Listen, why does he want to give us truth? Because he loves us, right? He wants us to get around other people where we can share truth and we can grow together. That's why we do small groups. That's why I encourage you, come on, after church, shop some groups out here. If we don't have one you'd like to see, Pastor Steve, we'll help you start one, okay? Get in with somebody where you can get in relationship. Iron sharpens iron and encourage one another. And where the masks come down, you can get real with somebody, get honest with somebody. Somebody can pour into your life and you pour into their life. That is about love. That's what that's all about. Amen? In fact, Jesus said that they'll know you by your love for one another. And through our relationships, they see the love of God. They see the supernatural love within you. Let me give you another one. Number four, love offers grace and truth. Love offers grace and truth. And you know, one of the best stories I can think of for this, in fact, let me just preface it by saying that it was said of Jesus in John chapter 1, he was full of grace and truth. It's both. He was full of it, full of grace and truth. But there was a woman that was brought to him. They caught him in the very act of adultery. Religious leaders, they brought him to him and said, the law says that we should stone her. What do you say? Well, he didn't say anything. He just knelt down and started writing in the sand. And a little bit later, he stepped up, he's back off from writing and said, those of you that have no sin, let you cast the first stone. And he went back to writing again. And little by little, they started dissipating. Somebody said he was probably writing Martha and Sue, right? They're mistresses, you know. I got to get out of here. He knows. I don't know. But they left. And so he turned to the woman and said, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "There are none, my Lord." But I want you to hear the most beautiful thing that he said to her. And I just love this. Let this sink in. He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go now and live your life." Sin. Hold that up there for just a minute. "Neither do I condemn you." That's grace, you know. Anybody need any grace? I tell you, God's not mad at you. He knows what you did last night or last week, and he still loves you. Come on, your picture is still on his refrigerator. He still loves you. But then he says, "I don't condemn you." That's grace. But then here comes the truth. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Don't keep doing it. God doesn't come to save us in our sins. He came to save us from our sins. He died on the cross so we could experience new life in him. Love offers grace and truth. And you could say, well, how could he do that? The law actually did. The law said that they had a right to stone her. How could he step into that? Get in the way of that? Because that's what the law said. Here's how. He was on his way to a cross to pay for her sins. That's how he could offer grace. The law had to be fulfilled, but he fulfilled it for her. He took the punishment for her. He became her sin. Right? He paid the price. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. He took stripes for her. He died for her so that she could live. Guess what? It's not just her for her. It's for you and me. He died for you and me so that we could live. He gave his love for us so that we could receive his love and so that we could give his love. Amen? Aren't you thankful for that today? Amen. Amen. I want to give you one other thing to write down. And that's what I hope that you'll do today. And that is receive God's love and invite him to live in you. I just got to tell you today, God loves you. He loves you. His love is unconditional. He calls you out of where you are. That circumstance, that yesterday, that whatever it is that you can't seem to get past, he calls you out of that. He calls you up. Something called redemption and lift. It'll change the way you live your life when you find out who you really are in him. He establishes your life and calls you to walk in the path of peace. We talk about this around here a lot. He comes that you might know him. He comes that you might find freedom from the past. He comes that you may discover purpose. That you may realize why you're here. He comes that you may then make a difference and then become a carrier of his love to others. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I just want to say again, God's not mad at you. He loves you. I think sometimes we think God's just somewhere with his arms folded, got a big hammer, and we've messed up. He can't look at us. He wants to hammer us over the head. Listen, it's when we mess up, he runs to us. He runs to our rescue. He came to us when we were still sinners and died on the cross for us. He comes to us where we are. He comes to us at the point of our need. He gets out of the place of the tabernacle when he was here. He moved the holy place out to the point of need, out into this, outside the gates. He comes to where you are. He loves you. And he's not trying to put a bunch of demands. He's not like the Wizard of Oz behind the... He's a God that you can approach, and he revealed himself to you through his son Jesus so that he could have a relationship with you. And that's what it's saying is all about. He just wants to have relationship with you. So today, I'm going to offer something to you today. you know that you're here and you're not in a right relationship with Him, maybe there's things in your life that's risen up and hatred and bitterness and just disappointment, and things have just crept in and just kind of setting up camp in your heart and your mind, and you need God to come in, take care of that, clean house, establish His peace, establish His love in your heart again, heal that heart. I want to lead you in a prayer. It may be for you, you're coming to Christ in right relationship for the first time. For it, maybe you just need to come back. Things aren't where they need to be, and you know you need to make it right. I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're sitting here in this building or if you're watching online, I want to simply lead you in a prayer. But if that's you, you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? Would you just slip up a hand while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? You can put it right back down. I'm not going to have you come to the front and embarrass you. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right where you are. If that's you, just slip up a hand. Bless you. Yes. All right. I want to pray. I want to lead this prayer. It's not a magic prayer. All you got to do is just simply mean it. It's just you talking to God. But I'm just going to help you with the words. If you're watching online, I invite you to join with those. And I want everybody here, if you would, just to pray this out loud in support of those that need to pray it. Father, thank you. Just say something like this. Father, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your Son for me to take my place, to pay my debt, to heal my heart. Today I invite you in my heart. I ask you to come live inside of me. By faith, I accept that you love me. You care about me. You died for me. You want to have a relationship with me. So I invite you now. Today I give you my life. And I ask you to come in. Make me brand new on the inside. I welcome you, God. Be the Lord of my life. And with all my heart, I will follow you. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for saving me, God. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for those that needed to pray this prayer and prayed it, God. Lord, I pray they would experience the love of God that passes all understanding. That above all else, they'll know your mercy endures, your love extends beyond all circumstances. Your love is powerful. By faith, God, we receive. We thank you for that gift of love. In Jesus' name, amen.